Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin, Daf Nun Ches. We will begin on Daf Nun Ches, Amud Aleph, 9 lines from the top. We were discussing in the previous shiur that the Mishnah says that Chulin Shnishchtu Ba'azara, if a regular animal was shechted in the Beis HaMikdash, it's Asa Ba'hanah, and therefore if someone uses that animal to make a Kedushin, it's an invalid Kedushin. And we learned at the end of yesterday's shiur the source for that rule. It says the Gemara Ashkechinu Ma Yehuda Rav Yosef or Rav Shmuel Berei the Rava Babachana Davakaima Pischid the Bei Rava. These individuals were standing by the entrance of the yeshiva of Rava Amalahu, and he told them, Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Hamkach for Petach Amar, if somebody uses a Petach Amar or Basa Bechalov or Chulin Shenishch to Bazara to affect a Kedushin, Rav Shimon Aymer, Rav Shimon holds Mekudeshes. Av v'chachamim Aymerim, and the Chama hold any Mekudeshes. So as the Rosh Hashanah point out, this is really consistent with the opinion we learned from Rav Shimon in the previous year, where Rav Shimon said that Petach Hamor can be used for Kedushin. The Gemara tried to give an answer. Here the Brisa clearly says Rav Shimon holds its Mutar B'Hanah. Says the Gemara, Alma, obviously when we learn this Brisa, we see that Chulin Shenishchtu Ba'azara L'Rav Shimon, the coin to Rav Shimon, Chulin Shenishchtu Ba'azara Lav Daraisa, and not Os Midaraisa. And therefore, they may be used to affect the Kedushin. And as the Mefarshim go on to explain, Rav Shimon's opinion is that Chulin Shenishchtu Ba'azara are not Os Midaraisa, not Bachila, not Bahanor. That's the way most Rishonim learn. That seems to be Rashi's Pshat. There are Rishonim that want to suggest that the Gemara is only focusing on the Hanor aspect, but not on the Chila aspect. It could well be that Rav Shimon will agree that it's Os Bachila Medaraisa, but not Os Bahanor. And in a moment we'll quote a Maram who shows that the Prap Pshat is to say that he holds it's completely Mutter. And since it's not awesome in the Raisa, it can be used to affect the Kedushin. As Toysvis, there's a Gemara Masechta Pesachim. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim says, HaMekadish Mevav Shos L'Mala. If somebody's Mekadish a woman, Erev Pesach in the afternoon, B'chita de Kudnaisa, Chita Kudnaisa is Chometz Noitsha, it's not Chometz the Raisa, Einu Mekadashis. So we see that even if something is also B'Hanob, Midrabanon, you can't use it to affect the Kedushin. So, ask Tosfos, why is our Gemara saying that our Mishnah that says you can't use Chulin Shenishchtu Ba'azara for a Kedushin can't be consistent with Rav Shimon's opinion? Why not? Maybe it's not Osam Midaraisa, but it's Osam Midrabanon. And the Gemara Masechta Pesachim is teaching us that something that's Osam Midrabanon can't be used either. So Tosfos answers, you can't bring a raya from there to here. Because chametz, Erev Pesach in the afternoon, is osam midaraisa, real chametz. It's only chametz noiksha, which is not chametz gomer, that's not osam midaraisa. So when we're talking in a time, in a place, where there is an issa daraisa, so chametz expand and say that even on something which is only osam midrabanan, you can't use for kedushin. However, here, where according to Shimon, Chulin Shenishchtu Ba'azara, at least at this point of the Gemara, is never Asim Midaraisa. That's why the Kedushin would be a valid Kedushin. That's Tosfos' approach. Along the same line, other Mefarshim tried to explain that Chametz, we find in many areas of Halacha, Chazal were more machmer with Chametz, because by Chametz there's always the concern that people eat Chametz all year, so we have to be a little more stringent about Chametz versus other foods. But right now, the way we're understanding Rav Shimon's opinion is that Chulin Shenishchtu Ba'azara is not Osam Midaraisa. And therefore, you could use it to make a Kedushin. Ask the Gemara of Reminu, how can we say that this is the opinion of Rav Shimon? There's a Brice that says, Rav Shimon Oimer, Chulin Shenishchtu Ba'azara, if somebody did Shecht, Chulin Da'azara, Yisrafu, it has to be burned. V'chein Chai Shenishchtu Ba'azara, and so would be Rav Shimon's opinion regarding a chaya that was slaughtered in the Azara. And this is the way that Rishonim explain. If we're learning now, beautiful explanation, if we're learning now that according to Shimon, Chulin Shenishtu Bazara is Mutta Bahanah Midiraisa. It's only Osa Bahanah Midirabonim. Why did Rabbanim make it Osa Bahanah? Because Rabbanim were concerned that if you're going to allow to have Hanah from Chulin Shenishtu Bazara, you may come to have Hanah from Kachim, from the carbon that became possible, that you may come to, which is Osa Bahanah, and you may come to have Hanah from it. So in order to avoid such a problem, Chazal said, Chulin Shenishtu Bazara should be also with Rabbanim. And then they went further and said, not only a behemoth will have that rule, but even a chaya. Now, if we think about it, a chaya to get confused with kachim is very far-fetched. Because a chaya, as we learned in the previous year, can never be brought as a carbon. So why would Rav Shimon take such a strong position and say that if somebody shechted a chaya bazara, there's a chiv sreifa, where it's only a, the rabbanim to get concerned. So it must be that's not just a rabbanim to get concerned. If we see that if Shimon holds the chay shenishchta bazara, yisrifu must be burnt, it must be that's not just awesome the rabbanim, that's really awesome the raisa. So now we have a clear contradiction. We began the Gemara with seeing that if Shimon holds chun shenishchta bazara is osir only mid rabbanim. And here it seems that it's awesome the raisa by the fact that he holds that a chay shenishchta bazara, yisrifu should be burnt. Osel Kameder Rabba, so the Ishtiku, they remained quiet, they didn't have an answer to this question. Osel Kameder Rabba, so they came and posed this question to Rabba. Amalu Palga. Palga means you're a person that always tries to make problems. Ukminaichu, I could resolve this concern. Hochbay Meskinen, Kigon Shinishpta Venimtsa Strafam. So now the Gemara is reversing its opinion. And the Gemara is saying that Rav Shimon agrees that chulin shenishchtu bazara is osa bahanah midaraisa. I, we began this year with he's saying that chulin shenishchtu bazara can be used to make a kedushin, so it's obviously not osir. It's referring to a specific situation. It's referring with somebody shechted chulin and the azara, and the animal was found to be a treifa. And Rav Shimon Tamei, and Rav Shimon is following his opinion that we find in other places, the Tanya, a sheikh is a treifa. If somebody shechts a treifa, he knows that the animal is a treifa. Or, a sheikh v'nimtz is a treifa, he finds that it's a treifa. Zev is a chulin bazara. So we have a situation of chulin bazara. Rav Shimon mat, in a situation where this was a behema, that was chulin bazara, Rav Shimon mat b'ana v'cham oisrim. Why does Rav Shimon say that this is mutter? Because it's a shechita shein aruya. Shechting a treifa is a shechita shein aruya. Rav Shimon's opinion, we quoted this yesterday, is that Shechita Shein Aruya lo Shema Shechita. The Chum on the other hand holds that Shechita Shein Aruya Shema Shechita. So now we can understand the Gemara. The first price that we learned. Rav Shimon will agree that Chulin Shenishchta Bazara are also Bahanah Midaraisa. And since he holds it's also Bahanah Midaraisa, we could also understand why even a Chaya Shenishchta Bazara Rav Shimon's going to hold Yisrufu must be burnt. However, if somebody shechted a treifa bazara, given that's a shechita shen aruya, and Rav Shimon's opinion is that shechita shen aruya lo yishma shechita, that's why it's not a shechita, and that's why it's mutter. And that's what he referred to at the b'raisa that we began the shiur with. Machar v'kiddush b'nameim mekudeshes. So we learned yesterday the following, at the end of the Mishnah, the following rule. The rule is that if somebody has something which is osbahanah, very relevant din, somebody has something which is osbahanah, and you sell it, and you get funds for selling it, those funds don't become osr. To think about it, it's something that we could all relate to. Let's say somebody has a supermarket, and he sells in a supermarket bas b'chalav. And he gets, so somebody comes into the store and buys bas b'chalav and gives him money. That money, even though bas b'chalav we learned in the previous year, is osa b'hanah, that money doesn't become osa b'hanah. There are two exceptions. Avoid the zara and shmita. So says the Gemara, how do you know, Manolan? How do you know that the isra hanah doesn't transfer onto the funds? Says the Gemara, midagol rachmanu b'avoid kachavim. Since the Torah says specifically regarding avoid the zara, v'yisachem k'mahu, kol shatim achayim imenu, anything that's generated from the sale of avodah zarah, harei k'mahu, becomes os b'hanah. Mechlal, from here we see, the kol isurim shebetorah, all other isurim, sharu, don't have that din. Ask the Gemara, why are you saying that? V'neilf minah. Why don't we learn from avodah zarah to call a Torah kula that something that's also bahanah toifestamav, that the iser transfers further? Answers the Gemara, mishum dahav avodah kachovim v'shvius shnei ksuvim habayim keechod v'kol shnei ksuvim habayim keechod emelamdim. A rule that we've learned so many times, that if the Torah tells us something twice, if it was a rule that should be applied all over, why did the Torah say it twice? Wouldn't it be enough that the Torah should say it once? And from here we shall learn L'chol HaTorah Kula. The fact that the Torah says it twice, the Torah is teaching us, only where I teach you that this is the rule, such is the rule, everywhere else not. Avodah Kachavim, that Avodah Kachavim is Toifas is Domov. How do we know? Haramaran, where we began this piece of Gemara. V'yisachem k'mayu. Shvius Mahi. What is the rule regarding Shemitah? That it's Toifas Domov. Where do we find this? Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, Yovel he, Kodesh Tiyolachem. Ma Kodesh Toifas Domov. What does that mean? A rule that we've encountered many times. If you have an animal that's Hegdish, and it becomes a Balmum, and you sell it, you redeem the animal, the money becomes Hegdish. Af Shvius, so too is the Alocha by Shemitah, Tefesis Domel. That if you sell Shemitah produce, the produce that you sell, the money that you receive, we're not going to see, it's not only money, in a moment we'll see, becomes also Kodesh. Ask the Gemara, but if you're going to compare it to Kodesh, the comparison should be complete. Ima Kodesh Toifas as Domov, V'yoyitz L'chun. What's it then by Kodesh? By Kodesh the halacha is, as I just said, if you sell an animal that's Hegdish, that animal is no longer Hegdish, but the money becomes Hegdish. So you should say the same thing by Shemitah. Av Shvius, Tefesis Domev V'yoyitz L'chulim. That if you sell Shemitah produce, the produce should lose the Kedusha Shvius, and the money should become Kodesh. Tamlai Matiya, Bavayosatahei. The Perish Shvius always retained the Kedusha, even if they were sold. And the Gemara illustrates it. Ketzad, Lokach L'Perish Shvius. I took Shemitah produce, Basar, and I bought meat with it. The halach is, Eilu ve'elum is Baram b'shvius. The Shemitah produce remains Kodesh, but the money also gets Kedusha Shvius. And just like Shvius payers have to be burnt at a certain point, so too does this meat. However, Basar dogim, let's say I now sell this meat for fish, Yotze Basar, so the meat is no longer has the Kedusha Shvius, Nechnusu dogim. The fish come in their place. B'dogim yayin, so on, I sell the fish to buy wine, the wine comes in the place of the fish. I sell the wine for the oil. Okay, it's that. So just to get to the bottom line, which means as follows. The perish shvius always remains osur. That's a fact. Whatever I buy for, used to buy, also gets kedusha shvius, but if there's a long line of transactions, the last item on the line of transaction has Kedusha Shvius. Everything that was used along the way doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. So I saw that the Paiskim ask a Gevaldige Shaila. Unfortunately, we know that not everybody in Eretz Yisrael nowadays are Shomrei Shemitah, are Shomrei Shvius. So now the halacha is that Al Gemara just taught us that if somebody sells Perish Shvius for anything, the Perish Shvius retain their Kedusha Shvius, but the money that's used to buy the Perish Shvius also get Kedusha Shvius. So what would be, I walk into a supermarket in Israel that they're not makbid only to sell products that don't have a Shemitah product, Shemitah problem, but I don't go in to buy fruit. I went and buy a detergent. There's no problem with soap and Shemitah. So, but the customer before me bought in this store Shemitah produce. And the money that was given for the Shemitah produce is Kedusha Shvius. So let's say, this is a shalot that the Paiskim discuss. He bought fruit, Shvius for 50 shekel. I gave the storekeeper 50 shekel bill. I walk into the store now to buy the soap. The soap costs also 50 shekel. I don't have 50 shekel on me. I have a 100 shekel bill. I give the storekeeper 100 shekel. I give the cashier 100 shekel bill. What does she give me back? 50 shekel change. That 50 shekel is Shemitah. Has Kedusha Shvius on it. So the Paiskim discuss, and it's the question's a lot deeper. It's not just saying, so you won't go into a store that sells Shemitah produce. Because you know how money goes. Money circulates. So that customer that has that pay, that 50 shekel bill now goes somewhere else, and the whole economy is connected. So how could you take money in Israel during the Shemitah year? It's a very serious shaila based on this Gemara. And the Paiskim say, Shlom Zama discusses it, many other Paiskim discuss it. There's only one heter. We're relying on Roiv. Since most money is not used for Peir Shvius, first of all, the Peirs that are sold in Eretz Yisrael are not only Peir Shvius. And number two, fruit and vegetables are not the only thing people buy in any economy. So Roiv of the money doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. That's the only heter we have in using money in Eretz Yisrael. And it's not only in the Shemitah year, because the Kedusha Shvius, as our Gemara says, remains. So now, what we've proven, back to our sugya, now what we've proven is that the Torah teaches us in two places that something that's also b'hanor is toifus is domov, avoid the zorah and shemitah, and we have a rule, shnei ksum abom kechel eim melamdim, and therefore we don't apply this rule to other areas. Ask the Gemara, honich lemandom eim melamdim. This goes fine if we follow the concept of Shnei Ksum Abom Kechod Eim Melamdim. Elamandim Melamdim Ma'ikla Meima. We know, we've discussed this numerous times, this concept of Shnei Ksum Abom Kechod Eim Melamdim is not something everybody subscribes to. And if you say you don't subscribe to the concept of Shnei Ksum Abom Kechod Eim Melamdim, so why don't we learn from Shemitah and Avodah Zarah to call it Torah Kula? And the Rajba, based on Tosfos, says the Gemara's question is even deeper. He says a beautiful vart. He says, the rule by Shemitah and the rule by Avodah Zarah are not identical. Because by Shemitah we learned that's only the last item on the list that's Typhus Stamav. By Avodah Zarah, everything is Typhus Stamav. So even if you hold Shnei Ksum Abom Kechod, Eim Melamdim, here you need each Pasuk because each case has its own unique rules. So the Gemara's Kasha comes back. Why don't we use these circumstances as a model for Kol HaTorah Kula, that something that's also b'hanor is Typhus is Domov, Mayik L'meima, answers the Gemara Mi'utuk Sibo. There are specific psukim that say that only in these circumstances is there Tfisas Domov, anywhere else not. Siv Hocha Ki Cherem Hu, the Torah says, by Vayezor Ki Cherem Hu, Hu, the Siv Hosom. And it says regarding Shemitah, Yovel he, to teach us he in, only here, in these cases, Avodah Zarah and Shemitah, is there a din of Typhus or Domov, Midachrin Eloi, anywhere else not. It says the Mishnah, HaMekadosh B'Trumais. If someone's Mekadosh a woman with Truma, Truma means either Truma that a person has to separate to give to the Kayin, or means Truma Gedoyla. We know we have to give Maiser to a Levi, and 10% of the Maiser has to be taken from the Levi to give to the Kohen, it's called Truma Gedoyla, that's Trumas. Maisris is Maiserishin. Trumas Maiser, I'm sorry. Trumas Maisris, or Matonis. Matonis means the Matonis Kahuna, there's royal Chayim Keva, parts of the animal, that when one shechs, he has to give to a Kohen. But Mechatis, Be'efachatis, Mechatis is the water that's used for the Paraduma. Efachatis is the ash of the Paraduma. Harezim Kodeshis, Afil Yisrael. Even if it's Yisrael who really is not entitled to eat these foods, we're going to discuss this more in the sugya now, the Kedushin's of Al Kedushin. The Migdash David says, how could the Mishnah suggest that one can be Mekadosh and Isha with Eifachatis? Eifachatis belongs to the Hegdash. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, they, to the administrator, they prepared the Eifachatis when they had somebody's tummy. So how does a Kohen have his own Eifachatis that he can make a Kedushin? So he says a very Bechiddush. He says, they used to prepare whatever Eifachatis, portion of Reitz Eifachatis, and divided every week, the Kahanim of that Mishmer got a portion of Eifachatis. And if they didn't end up needing to use it, Baruch Hashem, there was no one Tomei, they got to keep it. And now Kohen could use the Eifachatis, he has ownership in it, and the Mishnah is teaching us he could use it to be Mekadosh Nisha. So the question, as we get into this sugya, important sugya, every sugya is important, is why indeed can a Yisrael use truma maisa, which he's not allowed to eat, truma specifically, to be Mekadosh Nisha? So the simple pshat, as we get into the Gemara, is because Tavis Hanor. Because even though I don't own the truma and I can't eat the truma, I have Tavis Hanor on it. And there's a machlokes rishon, what does Tavis Hanor mean? Rashi seems to learn that Tavis Hanor means the fact that I have a right to choose which kohen will get the truma gives me a level of ownership in the truma. Most rishonim disagree with Rashi. Most rishonim explain Tavis Hanor, that's why we learned in yeshiva. The Tavis Hanor is like this. I have a grandson. I'm not a kohen, but I have a son-in-law who's a kohen. I have a grandson who's a kohen. So I want my grandson to get a lot of truma. So you're my friend, and you, Baruch Hashem, have a nice amount of truma to give away. So I go over to you and say, you know what, I'll give you a few dollars, and you choose my son, my grandson, to, or my son-in-law, if I get along with him, to be the kohen that you're going to give the truma to. And I pay you for it. So you, the Yisrael, have financial interest in the truma. And that's why, Tavis Hanor, you could use it to be Mekadosh Nisha. That's Pashup Shad in the Mishnah. So Ula makes a statement that Tavis Hanor is not in a moment. It's not considered financial ownership. Ask the Gemara, how could Ula make such a statement? Eser of Abel Ula, we just learned our Mishnah the way we explained it, that a Mekadosh Petrumus Umaisis Umatonis. B'meichatas u'be'efaparo ha'rezim u'kadeshes l'afil Yisrael. And what is pshat in our Mishnah? As we explained, because it's Tavis Hanor. So how are you going to explain the Mishnah? Amalei, so he says, our Mishnah is referring to a different situation altogether. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation of a Yisrael sh'nofla t'folim b'beis abi ibi kayin. You have a Yisrael who had a grandfather who was a kayin, and he inherited, his grandfather passed away, and he left him tevel, the kasover, and the tan of our Mishnah holds, matonish lehormo kamisha hormadamin. And this is why Rav Shach, Davi Ezri, explains the Gemara. Since every pile of tevel is going to have the truma separated from it, so this kayin, even though he bequeathed to his grandson something that's tevel, in the tevel there's a portion of truma, and he has the ownership now, it's grandson who's Yisrael. That's the case. So Rashi asks, why didn't the Mishnah just give us a simple, why didn't the Gemara just give us a simple explanation? There's a Yid, who's a Kayin, who had Truma, passed away, and he left it to his grandson, who's Yisrael, as a Yerusha. We have to come up with a complicated case. So Rashi says, the Gemara could have given that explanation. But then we would have a question that's obvious. What does the Mishnah have to teach it to us? Now that we're learning that he left Tevel, and we're learning this concept that we've already seen and we'll see more of Matanish Lehomo, Kamisha Hormadamian, we could have an understanding of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Bamine Rav Chibar Avim Rav Huna. He asked him as a question, Tavis Hanor Mamin or Ain Mamin? Is it or not? Amalei, so he said, Tinesua. Don't we have an answer from our Mishnah? Because it says in our Mishnah, Hamakash Batrumas Vemaisris, Vematanis Vemechatis Vefaparo, Harezim Mukadeshis, Vafil Yisrael. So don't we see that from our Mishnah that Tavis Hanor Mamin? Amalei, so he said, what are you saying? V'lava kimnu, hadn't we just explained that our Mishnah is b'Yisrael sh'nafluot lo tefalim b'beis avi avikayin? That we explained that our Mishnah has nothing to do with Tavis Hanor. So why are you using our Mishnah as a source that Tavis Hanor is Mamin? Amalei, hatzoat. So he called him your hatzoat. And Ichsif, he got embarrassed. What does Hatzor mean? He thought that he meant Hatzor, Rashi says, Tup Shotim. Either means Hatzor from the language of Hoitzi, go out, leave. You're not learning right Pshat. Or Hatzor is from the word Hutzel. Hutzel means like Katla Kanya Ba'agma, like a reed. What you're saying is flimsy. who suffered, and he thought, Mishmatza Kamalei, that he was embarrassing him, that you don't know how to learn. Amalei, he says, I wasn't embarrassing you. Hachikoyimna. This is what I meant to say. Rav Asi the Hutzel, Rav Asi from Hutzel, Koy Kavaseich, does agree with you that Pshat in our Mishnah is, as we learned the Mishnah, that the reason you can be Mekandish a woman with Truma is because Taivas HaNoah's mom. It's interesting to note, I saw a nice word from the Panim Yofos. The Panim Yofos was written by the Aflaw. He says, we know that there's a cycle. The first year and the second year you give Maisa Rishon and Maisa Sheini. The third year you give Maisa Rishon and Maisa Ani. And then the fourth and fifth again Maisa Rishon and Maisa Sheini. Sixth Maisa Rishon and Maisa Ani. The Torah calls, says the Panim Yofos, the third year the Shnas HaMaiser. The question is, why is that year called more Shnas HaMaiser than any other year? So he says a beautiful pshat. He says, even though we're discussing now that I have the prerogative, I, the Yisrael, have the prerogative to choose which Kohen I'm going to give the Truma to, which Kohen I'm going to give, which Levi I'm going to give the Maisa to, by Maisa Ani, I don't have that prerogative. Maisa Ani, if Ani comes to me, and I have Maisa money available, I have to give it to him. I can't say, I don't want to give it to you, I want to give it to somebody else. That's what's called Shnas HaMaiser. It's the year where you have to give the Maisa, where you have no control as much as you have in the other years. So says the Gemara wants to suggest that Ketanai, this Shaila, if Taivas HaNoah is Momin or not, is actually the subject of a Machloikus Tanoah. It says in a Braisa, Hagoin of Tivlo Shel Chaveroi, somebody has Tevel, and somebody, I steal that Tevel. Mishalim Loi Demei Tivlo Shel Chaveroi, Divri Rebbe. So according to Rebbe, if I steal from you, I have to repay you. I not only have to repay you, I even have to give you kefil. I have to give you back the entire value of what I stole. That's Rebbe's opinion. Rebbe Yosef Yehuda Amar, Einu Mishalim, El Demei Chulin Shabai. I only have to pay for the Chulin, because the Tevel's not yours anyway. So the Gemara wants to suggest that my Laba Hakimufki, what is the basis of the Machloikis between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda? The Mass of a Tovus HaNoam Momin, and therefore, you have ownership over the entire Tevel. Or Masava, Tovus HaNoah, Ein HaMamon. And therefore, the only part of this Tevel that you own is the part that's not Trumas HaMaisris. The part that's Maisris is not yours. And here we have a very fundamental Machloikas Rishonim. According to the opinion of Rebbe, the Rebbe is learning Tovus HaNoah HaMamon. And therefore, if I steal from you 100 pounds of Tevel, I have to repay you. What does that mean? Let's think about it. I'm just going to use numbers. They're not 100% accurate. Let's say I stole from you 100 pounds of Tevel. And in 100 pounds of Tevel, let's say there's 15 pounds of Trumas HaMaisris and 85 pounds of Chulin. So 85 pounds is no question that I have to repay you. There's no argument over that. The question is on the extra, on the 15 pounds that represent Trumas HaMaisris. One man says, I don't pay you. It's not yours. The other man says, Tovus HaNoah HaMamon, and I have to pay you for those 15 pounds. But now that we're showing him debate, what does that mean that I have to pay you 15 pounds? Doesn't mean I have to pay you the 15 pounds at the Tovus HaNoah price. Tovus HaNoah price is a lot less than regular price. Or do I pay you 15 pounds like it's regular chulin? Machloikus Ramban and Rajba. Says the Avni Nezer, what is the machloikus based on? We bring what we spoke about a few moments ago. To what does Tovus HaNoah mean? If we follow the opinion of Rashi, that Tovus HaNoah means that since I have the right to choose which coin, so according to Rashi, I have ownership, even though it doesn't really represent the financial ownership. The right that I have to choose which coin should get it gives me ownership, then it's the regular price. If, however, Tovus HaNoah means, because you could pay me to choose your son-in-law, your grandson, the Kayin, so you only would have to pay according to the value that I would get to choose them, which is a lot less. So the Gemara is suggesting that this Shail of Tovus HaNoah is a Machlokes Tanoim. Says the Gemara Loi, it could well be the Kul Alma of Tovus HaNoah Ein HaMamon. So what is the Machlokes? So the Gemara gives various interpretations. Again, we're referring to a situation where somebody inherited tvua from his grandfather who's a Kayin. And the Machloikis is over the shayla that we discussed on Amr Aleph. Does the halacha view a pile of tevil as if the truma meiser is separated or not? Mass of a kamisha hormadamin, they're separated. There's tevil, there's truma semaisris. And the ganef only has to repay the chulin portion. Mass of a lav kamisha hormadamin, we have one big pile of tevil that I took from you that I have to repay you. That's one way of explaining the machlokes. Ibai Seima, another way of explaining the machlokes, the kula alma kamisha hormadamin. Everybody looks at that pile as if the truma meiser is separated. Because Rabbi Aaron Kotel explains in the Mishnah of Aaron, the halacha says that something that's certainly eventually going to happen, because you're going to separate Trumas and Maestris, is considered as if it already happened. But Tovus Hanor, everybody agrees, ain't a moment. So what is the machloikus around? For Hocha, the machloikus is over a different subject. But the Shmuel Kamifgi, the arguing over a concept the Shmuel teaches us. Dama Shmuel, Chita Achas Pateres is a Kree. The Mar Isle the Shmuel, or Mar Lesle the Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? Shmuel says, midaraisa, by meiser, this is what Rishonim explained the Gemara. Meiser, the Torah is very exact. How much is meiser? Meiser, 10%. Truma, the Torah doesn't give us a formula, how much you have to take off a truma. So midaraisa, you take off one kernel, but Teres is a Kri, you've done enough. So now, let's say I steal from you 100 pounds, our old case, 100 pounds of tevil. How much truma is in there? Only one chita. Because midaraisa, you could fulfill your truma obligation with one kernel. And the rest is yours, so I have to repay you. Says Rashi, you're right. The maisa part, you can't argue that way. Because maisa is 10%, there's no debating. But at least on the truma portion, you could say chita achas pateres es akri. Ask the mefarshim. Even if Shmuel says the chita achas pateres es akri, that's midaraisa. Midrabonon, the Rabbanon did give a formula for truma. A 40th, a 50th, a 60th, depending on what kind of individual you are. So how could you just rely on chita achas pateres es akri? So I saw two answers to the question. One answer is that even if we're going to say tovus hanor in a moment, that's only on a deraisa diga level. The din of a 40th, 50th, 60th is only the Rabbanon. On a Rabbanon diga level, everybody agrees tovus hanor is moment. Another teretz, very beautiful teretz, is as follows. There are two dinim. There are two aspects in giving truma. There's a din that until you take off the truma, it's tevil. And there's a din that you have to give something to the kohen. As far as removing the issa tevil, chita achas pateres es akri, and it's no longer tevil. So what I stole is not tevil, as long as one chita was deducted. Now there's another din, nesinas kohen, that you have to give something substantial to the kohen, a 40th, a 50th, a 60th, two separate dinim. Vibay Seima, another way of explaining the machloikus, the kula amas l'de Shmuel. Everybody agrees with Shmuel's concept. So if everybody agrees with Shmuel, why does Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda hold... I skipped a line. The kula amas less l'de Shmuel. Everybody doesn't agree with Shmuel. So if so, why does the Ganef have to pay for the whole tevil? If we're going to say that if the Ganef stole 100 pounds of tevil, and we're going to deduct the 15 pounds, it turns out that we're treating the Ganef very nicely. We don't want to treat the Ganef nicely. And that's why Chazal penalized that the Ganef has to pay for the whole 100 pounds. And now the Gemara says just the opposite. So if we hold a Shmuel, chita achas pateres es akri. So if so, why does Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda say that we could deduct the amount of Trumas and Maestris? To consume Rabban al-Balabayis, Chazal penalized the Balabayis, this Balabayis did something very wrong. Why did he keep the Tevel? He should have right away given away the Trumas and Maestris. So therefore, Chazal penalized him that if the Tevel is stolen, he won't get kefil, he won't get back the entire Tevel. Before the Ganef has to pay him back, we deduct the amount should have been Trumas and Maestris. Says the Gemara, Tanan. We just learned in our Mishnah, Hamakash b'chumas b'maisus b'matonis, b'mei chatas b'eif v'parah, ha'reizim b'kadeshet. It's a valid kedushin. V'apish Yisrael. Even though the person that used these items is Yisrael. Ask the Gemara of Reminu. It says in the Gemara, Hanoitel schar l'odin, a dayin who takes payment to run a din Torah, dina b'talim. And right, most Rishonim explain, Dina Batalim, it's not only the Din Torah that he's getting paid for is nullified, but he is disqualified from being a Dayan to the degree that any Din Torah that he was involved with is disqualified. That's what most Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim say, because he took payment for one Din Torah, why is he disqualified for another Din Torah? And therefore they suggest that any Din Torah that we have reason to believe that he got paid for, he's disqualified. If he didn't get paid for, that will be fine. Lahoid, an aid who takes payment to say edus, daloch is edusa betela. His edus is nullified. It's machloikis, if it's a issa deraisa, if it's medaraisa, medarabonim. Now, far as I say, really, it hinges on a different question. We know that somebody who's on the gay of the edus can't be an aid. Machloikis, why? Some say negei be'edus is like a karev, because if you're negei be'edus, you're a karev, and karev is possible. Others say because you're more partial to lie. So if you say that he got paid, he's like a negei be'edus, if we say it's like a karev is a psul deraisa. If the concern is that he may do the wrong thing, it's only psul derabanan. Lahazis lekadosh, if somebody takes payment to do, this is what's relevant to our Gemara, to do azar, or to do kiddush of the eifah para, name of me'ma'ara, the eifah mikla. So you see that you're not going to get paid. So how could a kohen say that this has value and use it to be mekadosh nisha? And it's the gemara amabaya. Loi kasha, kam b'schar havoa milui. To get paid for the tircha of bringing the water and preparing the water, you're allowed to. Kam b'schar hazor v'kiddush. Getting paid for doing the actual mitzvah is awesome. Getting paid for the actual mitzvah is osur. Getting paid for the tercha is mutter. As machloikis, 3 points we're going to make here. As machloikis rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. Some say that a mitzvah, there are two types of mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah that involves tercha, and there's a mitzvah that doesn't involve tercha. A mitzvah that involves tircha, you're allowed to get paid for. A mitzvah that doesn't involve tircha, you're not allowed to get paid for. Others explain the Gemara differently. When you're doing something which is only a preparatory act towards a mitzvah, that you're allowed to get paid for. But the actual mitzvah makes no difference if it's a tircha or not, you're not allowed to get paid for. Where would this be relevant? It's very relevant to a doctor. A doctor, is he allowed to get paid? He's doing a mitzvah of atzolos nefashos. So if we're going to say that any tircha, even if it's a mitzvah, you're allowed to get paid, a doctor would be allowed to get paid. If the din is that if it's a mitzvah, you're not allowed to get paid, then a doctor can't get paid. So why do people get paid for doing a mitzvah? The answer is they got schar b'teila. They could have been doing something else in that time, and that's why, and you take them away, that's why they get paid. One interesting shaila. Here we see that a dayan is not allowed to get paid to run a din Torah. Again, unless it's schar b'teila. So there's a machloikas hapaiskim. If somebody's a Masada Kedushin, or somebody's a Masada or a Get, is he allowed to get paid? Is that considered like he's a dying at a Din Torah? The Ramah says he's allowed to get paid. Why is he allowed to get paid? Because, says the Ramah, the only part of the Din Torah by a Get, or hopefully by a Kedushin, is the actual giving the Kedushin, the actual giving the Get. The rest is really not a Din Torah, and he's getting paid for all of that work, not for that one moment. So I saw a very interesting psak from Rav Zsolti, the Yerushalayim Rav, based on this Ramah. He says there was once a Din Torah that Rav Zsolti was in Yerushalayim involved with, and one side of Din Torah brought a private investigator to say testimony. And as the private investigator sat down to offer his testimony, the other side wanted to disqualify him. They said, "Did you get paid?" He said, "Yes." So we just said somebody gets paid to say Edus, Edusav Betela. So he said that he's not disqualified. So just like the Masader Get, he's not disqualified for a while. While he's being Masader the Get, he's not doing the mitzvah. It's only when the Get's being given. The private investigator isn't getting paid to say testimony. He was getting paid to do his investigation. That's not Edus, and therefore he's allowed to get paid, and he's not disqualified as an aid. Hanu lachish b'kadosh, hanu lachish b'kadosh, hanu lachish b'kadosh. Says the Mishnah. If somebody tells his friend, say v'kadesh li'isha, go and be mekadesh a woman on my behalf. The Rishonim point out why it say. So Rishonim explain Because we learned at the beginning of the last parak, we'll connect the prakim, the mitzvah by Yois Mishluchai, you're supposed to do your own kedushin. But here we're referring to a situation where the woman isn't here. So that's why I can ask you, because it's not convenient for me to do it. Say the kadesh le'isha plainus. The whole of the kitchel atzmai. And he went and he was mekadesh this woman for himself. So mekadesh is l'sheni. The kedushin of the second person is a valid kedushin. Ask Tosfos, why not? So Tosfos answers that it's referring to a case where the person first, the shliach first told the woman, I was sent by this person to be mekadesh you for me, for that person. And then he says, harayat mekadesh is li. So we would think that it's not a valid kedushin. Kamash Malan. All the Rishonim explain, the shliach really, as we're going to learn in the Mitzvah of the Gemara, didn't act very honestly. So maybe Chazal should have said that Kedushin is not a valid Kedushin. Teaches us the Mishnah that it is a valid Kedushin. There is a machlokes. What is the din if the woman and the shliach have a dispute? The woman says, you came, and Tosfos' case. The woman says, you said to me first that you're doing it on behalf of the Mishaleach, and then you said, Arei Mekadesh Asli. I thought that you're making Kedushin for the Mishaleach. The shliach says, no, I met myself. Well, who's married to whom? Many Paiskim suggest that she has to get two gittin and start from scratch. Cain continues the Mishnah. If somebody says to a woman, be my wife, but the Kedushin should only be effective in 30 days. Or ba'ach of a kitchen b'tayach shloshim, and another person is mekadesh within those 30 days, mekadesh is l'sheni, because the first Kedushin wasn't effective yet. So here we have another machlokes rishonim, Ramban and Rashba. What will be the halacha in this case? Ruvain says, be mekadesh to me in 30 days. Shimon comes and makes a Kedushin before. And then Shimon, before the 30 days are up, managed to marry this woman and divorce the woman. So now the question is, when day 30 comes, are the first Kedushin now going to kick in? Or do we say that since she was married in between, that permanently will nullify the first Kedushin? Says the Mishnah, the Kedushin to the second is so strong that if she's a Bas Yisrael L'Koyin, Toich B'Truma. However, says the Mishnah, and we're going to explain this case in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, again, what this case means, we'll explain tomorrow. Bas Yisrael Koyin, or Bas Koyin Yisrael L'Toich B'Truma. Says the Mishnah, if somebody tells a man, a person, be Mekadesh a woman on my behalf, the halacha is, Tana, Mash Asa Asui, what he did is correct, is a valid Kedushin, El Shinag Ba Minig Ramos. He acted not honestly. V'tana the Don, and our Tana, Halach Nami the Tani, when the Mishnah says, Halach means Halach Ramos, he acted dishonestly. So say to Mepharshim, what's the Gemara trying to teach us? The Gemara is trying to teach us two things. One thing is that even though he acted Ramos, still, the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Chazal did not disqualify the Kedushin. And another lesson the Rishonim say that the Gemara is teaching us is a wonderful lesson. This person could say, I maybe acted dishonestly, but I had a very good intention. I wanted to become the mitzvah puruvu. I wanted to become the mitzvah of marrying a woman. Teaches us the Gemara, the ends doesn't justify the means. Even if you did it for the purpose of doing the mitzvah puruvu, what you did is ramos, it was dishonest.